In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, and one of the more striking things about this feast is that we have not done a prayer that we do throughout the rest of the year, the prayer of a heavenly king. And also throughout the services, last night and this morning, we hear the word comforter over and over again. And right after the word, O heavenly king, we hear comforter, spirit of truth. So what does the word comforter mean? Well, the Greek word comforter is parakletos. And we find that word in the Gospel of John and also in the first epistle of St. John. Christ spoke about the coming of the comforter in chapter 16, verse 7 of the Gospel of John. And he said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And the gospel reading that we just heard this morning, it notes also that the Holy Spirit had not been sent in its fullest sense because Christ was not yet glorified. Why was it necessary that Christ be glorified or that Christ would no longer be visibly present among the disciples? It's not as if God couldn't have sent the Holy Spirit while Christ was still visibly among his disciples. But St. John Chrysostom said that the Holy Spirit had not yet come fully upon the disciples because Christ had not yet paid the penalty for our sins. And also other fathers point out that had Christ remained in the flesh, the disciples would have remained fixated on his bodily presence. But when Christ ascended, he not only opened the door for our deification, the deification of our human nature, but he also enabled his disciples to move from seeing only his visible person to coming to see and understand the invisible through the work of the Holy Spirit. When we think of the word comforter in our culture, we either think of a blanket that we wrap around ourselves when it's a cold day and it feels nice and warm to be wrapped in that comforter, or maybe if we're mourning or someone else is mourning, we try to comfort them. And those meanings are related to the word, and they're certainly aspects of what the Holy Spirit does, but the word comforter was the word that was chosen to translate the word parakletos because the Latin word that comforter comes from means to greatly strengthen. The word parakletos literally means to call someone to your side. And it's used in several different ways. The most common sense that it was used was in the sense of an advocate or a lawyer. In the first epistle of St. John, chapter 2, verse 1, this is one of the times that the word is used in reference to Christ. He says, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." The word is translated advocate because there in that context, that's what it's really referring to. It goes on to talk about how Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and that's how we're forgiven and we find mercy. It also has the connotation of helper. In John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." So when Christ said to the apostles, "I will give you another comforter," the Holy Spirit is referred to as another comforter. Christ is the first comforter. He's the one that was with them from the beginning. He is our advocate before the Father. And he promised his disciples that he would be with them until the end of the world. But after his ascension, he was with them through the presence of the Holy Spirit. The word also has the connotation of a counselor or a guide. And this is clear from several uses of the terms that you find in the Gospel of John. In chapter 14, verses 26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And then in chapter 15, verse 26, it says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." And then in chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit would guide the apostles and as they taught the church and also as they wrote the books of the New Testament. But that work of the Holy Spirit in guiding us to all truth and bringing to remembrance all things is not something that was just for the apostles, but it's also a promise for us. He instructs us and brings all things to our remembrance. We say in the Creed that the Holy Spirit spake by the prophets. And St. Paul tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's no shortage of guidance from the Holy Spirit that can be gained by the reading of Scripture. And if you do so with prayer and humility, the Holy Spirit will enable you to understand it. But something cannot be brought to your remembrance if you've never studied it in the first place. You can't come to understand the Scriptures by the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit if you never bother to read it. So it's one of the most important things that you can do is to take time to meditate and to study the Scriptures and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you through the Scriptures. The word comforter also, as I said, implies strengthening. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, right before Christ ascended, he said to his disciples, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And then in Acts chapter 1, verses 7 through 8, it says, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the time or the seasons," because they were asking about when Christ would come and establish the kingdom. "It is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Christ earlier had commissioned the apostles, and they received some measure of the Holy Spirit and were able to work wonders when he sent them out to preach among the people of Israel, but he specifically told them not to go unto the Gentiles. But here Christ is saying the Holy Spirit would come upon them in its fullness, and after that they would preach not only among the Jews, but also among the Samaritans, and also among the Gentiles to the nethermost parts of the earth. If we want this power, though, it's not as if we can just sit back and wait for the Holy Spirit to zap us, and that we're somehow going to have this power without having put forth any effort on our part or made any attempt to cooperate with that. We can't expect the Holy Spirit to guide us, to understand Scripture, to comfort us, and to strengthen us if we won't cooperate with him. There's a story that I heard about a preacher, and there are some Protestants that still do this, especially among the Charismatics and the Pentecostals, but he would never prepare a sermon because he believed that the Holy Spirit was going to give him something to say as he walked up to preach. And so right before he would go up to preach, he would pray that God would give him a word to speak. And one day the word was, "You're lazy." The Holy Spirit will give someone a word to speak if they have taken the time to pray, and they've taken the time to study the Scriptures to inform themselves. And then, you know, Christ said, "Don't meditate beforehand what you will say if you're taken before the governor and you have to testify for your faith." But if you're going to have the Holy Spirit with you at that point, it's going to be because the Word of God is dwelling in you richly, as the Apostle Paul says, and the Holy Spirit has already taught you, and then you'll be able to speak by the power of the Holy Spirit. But each and every one of us, it's not just clergy who need to prepare to preach, but we need to prepare so that we can witness to those that are around us. We need to prepare ourselves to come to the services so that we're able to receive them in the proper spirit. Very often people come to the services and they say, "Well, I'm not getting anything out of it." What you will find is that you will get out of the services what you put into them. If you just show up Sunday morning only, not having prepared yourself by prayer, not prepared yourself for communion, not having read the Scriptures, not having kept the fast, you're only going to get a little bit out of those services. But if you have spent the week living the gospel and striving to come closer and to know God, when you come to the services, they will be a time of joy for you. It'll be a time that you'll actually be enriched, and it'll be something that you look forward to, not something that you dread. The Spirit will come to dwell in us if we devote ourselves to pray and allow the same Spirit to convict us of our sins, to bring us to repentance and to cleanse us. Once we have been freed from the chains of sin, we will be endued with power from on high to do all that God has asked us to do. The power is there to be had if we will only prepare ourselves for it and ask for it. O heavenly King, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, who art everywhere present and fillest all things, treasury of good things and giver of life, come and dwell in us and cleanse us of all impurity, and save our souls, O good one. Amen.